Christ. I'd especially like to welcome the visitors we have among us today. As part of this song goes, it says, I will not, I cannot desert to his foes. I know that Dan Lawrence has said his prayers, and I know that he is prepared. I know he is prepared because he has a PowerPoint presentation for us also today. But I know that he is a man that seeks after the Lord. One who I know has prayed about the message that he would bring to us today. So if you would open your hearts, your minds, and your souls, and give our brother Dan Lawrence your attention as he breaks the word of God for us. Dan Lawrence.
Thank you, Brother Mark, and I would also like to welcome all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome responsibility, but a pleasure also for me to stand before you and to bring to you the Word of God, the precious words of life and spiritual health. I would like to speak this morning about spiritual renewal. And it was to me, it's always a pleasure to see how the hymns fit in. I would like to look at the fourth verse of this hymn that we just sang, 311. It says, even through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie. My grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only designed thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Today I'd like to talk about refining our gold, the goodness that is in us each because of the indwelling of God's Spirit, because of our conversion to Jesus Christ, and because of our desire to follow Him and to serve Him all of our days. I'd like to begin reading in Psalm number 51. And I'll read the 10th verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When David wrote this verse, he was in a very repentant mood. He'd had a lot of sin in his life. He repented of that sin, and he came to the Lord and he said, help me to refine the gold. Help me to consume, Lord, the dross that's within me. Take from me my iniquity and replace it with your goodness. And so, in talking about spiritual renewal, I need to make it clear that I understand that we're all on the same path. We're all on that path that leads to eternal life. And we may be in different places along that path. We may be very young and just beginning to understand about God's Word and God's Spirit. We may be well-versed in the Word and trying hard to apply it in our lives. We may be drawing near to that time. When we come face-to-face with our Lord. But whoever we are, and wherever we are on that path, we have the responsibility to press forward. We have that responsibility to always attempt to rise to a higher spiritual plane, to come to a better understanding of God's will for us in our lives. There's a story in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Ether. And it's found in the fourth chapter. And it's talking about the Jaredite people, people who knew the Lord and were led by the Lord, but they fell away. They forgot to put God first in their lives. They chose to follow after their own desires and their own lusts. And because of that, the Lord, as he's wont to do, sent a famine to the land. He made their lives very miserable. And their crops failed, and the animals fled from their territory. They had nothing to eat. And on page 739, I'm going to begin at the 38th verse. They were being pursued by poisonous serpents, poisonous snakes. Verse 38, and it came to pass that the Lord did cause the serpents that they should pursue them no more, but that they should hedge up the way that the people could not pass, that whoso should attempt to pass might fall by the poisonous serpents. And it came to pass that the people did follow the course of the beasts and did devour the carcasses of them which fell by the way until they had devoured them all. The only thing left to eat were the carcasses of the dead animals. They had fallen this low in their spiritual lives. Now when the people saw that they must perish, they began to repent of their iniquities and cry unto the Lord. And it came to pass when they had humbled themselves sufficiently before the Lord, he did send rain upon the face of the earth, and the people began to revive again. And there began to be fruit in the north countries and in all the countries round about. In a literal sense, they were revived physically because there was food. In a spiritual sense, they had a spiritual revival. They had a spiritual renewal. They renewed their contract with the Lord and repented of their sins and made a serious attempt to continue in the way of the Lord. We live in a world that is in a period of spiritual famine. There are fewer and fewer believers in the Lord. There are fewer and fewer followers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the opposition to our Savior is greater and more vocal than it's ever been. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be the light to a world in darkness. And if we're going to do that, we have to strengthen our spiritual lives. It has to be so obvious to those around us that we believe in Jesus Christ and that we follow his commandments that they can't miss it. Ephesians 4, I'm going to begin at the 17th verse. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all cleanness with greediness. And we would have to be blind to not recognize this around us. The pleasure in evil that we see is unbelievable. but yet it's true. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. We have not learned Christ in such a way that we have the desire to take pleasure in evil. We have learned to abhor evil. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or your former behavior, the old man, that person we used to be before we were converted, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where it all happens. Everything we do is directed by everything that we think. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, that new person that we became when we entered the water of baptism, when we chose to dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A new man is created not by the world, but by God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. One morning last spring around conference time, I awoke and immediately thoughts began entering my mind. And I popped up out of bed and ran to get a piece of paper and a pencil, and I started writing these things down as fast as I could get them written down. And there were 7 points that the Lord brought to my understanding. 7 areas for us to consider in our spiritual renewal. Concrete ways that we can strengthen our spiritual lives, no matter where we are along the path, that we can apply these things and that we can draw closer to the Lord's will for us in our lives, and that we can truly be renewed and that we can truly put on that new man. Understand, these are not my ideas. These are not things that I sat around and thought about, okay, now this person needs to hear this and this person needs to hear this. These were given to me by the Lord, and they've been a help to me in the months since I first heard these things. Number one is strengthen prayer, both personally and in our families. Prayer is our line of communication to God. It's our way of letting him know that we care, that we trust in him, that we believe him, and that we come to him with our needs and our desires. That we come to him in humility, asking for strength and wisdom and understanding. Alma, chapter 16. Alma, chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse 219. And go to verse 222. And this begins on page 430 of the Book of Mormon. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Most of us don't have flocks and fields, but we have jobs. We have people that we meet every day. We have responsibilities. And we should be praying about all of these things so that when we meet someone who's in spiritual darkness, they'll see it They'll see it in our faces. We know that. We see people and we look at their face and we know this person believes in God. This person loves the Savior. Cry unto him against the devil who is an enemy to all righteousness. He is our adversary. He is the one that's going to throw those stumbling blocks in our way. And we need to say, Lord, give me wisdom, give me strength, give me courage, so that when I face one of these stumbling blocks, I'll recognize it and I'll have the strength to go around it. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. We pray quietly and personally. Sometimes we pray together and out loud. There's a time for prayer, always. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. We can't be on our knees 24 hours a day. We'd never get anything done. But we can have an attitude of prayer that's with us all of our waking moments. An attitude of being in touch with the Lord, so that when we approach one of these stumbling blocks, we can hear that warning and we can heed it. When we approach someone who needs a word of encouragement, that we'll be prompted to give them a smile, to give them a word of encouragement. We pray for our own welfare. We pray for the welfare of those around us. Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray. Those two things go together. If we pray and just go stumbling out into the world, not paying attention to what's going on, then we're still not going to recognize the stumbling blocks. We're still not going to recognize the person who wants a word of encouragement. Watch and pray. Why? That ye enter not into temptation. Because the Spirit is willing. I want to do good. I want to be a good person. I want to do the Lord's will. But the flesh is weak. We're all subject to temptation. None of us is perfect. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to be tempted. But the more we can be in touch, the less we'll stumble. The more we can recognize those things, the more we can be prepared. Pray without ceasing. That's that attitude of prayer, that we're in a sort of a constant communication with God. That we have his Spirit to be with us, to guide us and direct us. Increase the importance of the Scriptures in your daily life. We spoke this morning in Sunday school about the Word of God, about the Word of God being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we talked about what it would be like to be in a totally dark room with no light. You say, okay, I'm going to go across the room and walk out the door. And we take one step and immediately crash into the wall. Why? Because we can't see. We don't know where the wall is. We don't know where the door is. We don't know where the chair is. We don't know anything. We're in total darkness. But God's Word is that light in our lives, that lamp into our feet, that shows us, that gives us the understanding of what God's will is, of what he wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do. And we need to be in touch with God through his word. I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. Purely as an example, I wish I could tell you about somebody else who had done it, and then I could use that other person as an example. But I've chosen a time of day, every day, and that's God's time. That's the time that I read his word. And it's breakfast. If I'm eating breakfast, I'm reading God's word. And I don't skip breakfast very often. Breakfast is important to me. Okay? And so that's my time to read God's word. And I'll have to tell you, it's made a difference in my life. It's made me more familiar with his word. It's made it easier for me in teaching, in preaching, to go directly to that word, or at least remember enough key words that I can search for it and find it. And it has brought me to a greater understanding of the unity of God's word, how it all works together, how it all is a consistent system, that there are no inconsistencies, but that it all works together. So when I see one verse, I can see how it relates to another verse because I'm more and more familiar with all of those verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you know, there are a couple of ways you can look at this verse. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to start at verse 14 and we'll make it here to 16 in a moment. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We teach our children the scriptures. We continue to study them as adults. So we've learned these things, and he's saying, continue. Don't give up. Stay in the word and remember what it says. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We have two books. And the official position of the church, and I think God's will, is that these two books comprise what we refer to as scripture. I used the example this morning in class. I could sit down and I could write a book. I could write a book expounding on the Sermon on the Mount. And everything I put in that book could be absolutely true, absolutely right, dead on true. Does that make it scripture? No. Because it's not God's word. It's my word. I could take that book and I could decide to erase some stuff and rewrite it, come out with revision 2, and still be Dan's word. Wouldn't be God's word. We have what we believe to be God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I've had people in an attempt to prove their point say, well, you know, that verse doesn't belong there. Somebody stuck that verse in there and that's not really true. And so we're going to ignore that verse for the sake of this particular discussion. Well, to me that raises a logical inconsistency. Who decides which verses to ignore and which verses to believe? It's either God's word or it's not. If I decide which ones to ignore, then it's no longer God's word, it's my word because I've changed it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. It's valuable to us for doctrine, to understand God's plan, for reproof and correction. Sometimes we need some help in changing course. That's what our spiritual renewal is about, is Sometimes we're going to have to make course corrections. We're going to say, well, probably shouldn't be doing that. Or, well, maybe I should be doing this. For instruction in righteousness, instruction in goodness in our lives. How can I be a better person? That the man of God may be perfectly, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're here. That's why we've dedicated our lives to Christ. That's why we read His Word and we pray, so that we can become that perfect being through Christ and enter into His heavenly kingdom. Jesus set the example for us in chapter 4 of Matthew. A story we all know, that how Christ was tempted by the devil and offered many things if he would bow down and worship him. And each time Christ responded with God's word. He responded with that sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And I'll read just this one verse. Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." We might die, we might starve to death, but we can be spiritually fed. In the book of Helaman, chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "Lay hold upon the word of God. Take it, make it yours. Live it, believe it, love it." Which is quick, meaning alive, and powerful. Which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil. That's our sword. That's our main weapon against Satan and temptation. This was increase the importance of scriptures in your life. Heal spiritual wounds. We've all in our lives said things we wish we hadn't said. We've all in our lives been told things we wish we hadn't been told. We've done things to hurt other people. Other people have done things to hurt us. What's it called when we don't deal with those things but not forgive? What is it called when we don't forgive those things? Holding a grudge. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I want to see your heads go this way or this way. No. It's a bad thing. Let's look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, because of these things, if thou bring thy gift to the altar." What does that mean? Bringing our gift to the altar. It can mean a lot of things. It can mean something as simple as dropping our pennies in the collection plate. It can be our service to the Lord. "I want to do good things for you, Lord." It can be coming to a sacrament service. It can be anything that is something that the Lord wants us to do. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. I'm holding a grudge. I haven't forgiven. Or he hasn't forgiven me. I'm angry about that still, after all this time, for all these years maybe. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Reconciled. Make it right. Deal with it. Stop ignoring it. Stop putting it off. Stop being fearful of what might happen. Deal with it. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What does this tell you about God's priority? Yes, he wants us to do good things for him. He wants us to serve him. But if we come to him with a spot on our heart, a blemish in our attitude. Remember when they came to Christ and they said, "But Lord, we have done many wonderful things in thy name." And he said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." He said, "We did mighty miracles in your name." And he said, "I never knew you." He wants us to get our hearts right with each other. Do you have a dispute with a brother or sister? Now is the time to make it right. Now is the time to reconcile. Do you hold a grudge against somebody? Give it up. Now is the time. I've told this story before. Long before I was baptized, I was in a business of building very loud speaker systems for rock and roll bands. And I had a sort of an informal partnership with a fella, and he would go out and get the jobs, and I would build the speakers, and when I got them completed, I'd give them to him, he would deliver them and get paid for it. And then we'd split the money. Well, one day I finished some speakers, gave them to him, didn't hear from him. Called him up and I said, "Say, where's my money?" He said, "Well, I'm sorry, you're not going to get it." I said, "But we had a deal." And he said, "Tough luck. You're out of luck. You don't get your money." Well, of course, that was the end of the partnership. But I was upset about that for a long, long time. In fact, you know, I would even forget about it for a year or two at a time, and then I'd think about it. But there came a day after I knew about this verse. We were sitting in a restaurant, and he and his wife walked into the restaurant and sat down. And we didn't acknowledge each other. I don't know if he even knew we were there. But I saw him and immediately was convicted by this verse. I'm still holding a grudge against this guy. I had to give it up. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I've done this, and it works. It works every time it's tried. Have a problem? Go and deal with it. Don't gossip about it. Don't complain to all your friends about it. Don't write nasty emails to everybody in the world. Go to the person you have the problem with, alone, and deal with it. We have situations in the church that we don't always deal with nicely. Ephesians says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Let's deal with it as a church. Let's heal spiritual wounds. Recognize the importance of spiritual education. We have a variety of different services that we attend here in the church. And I would ask you if one service is any more important than another. Is a sacrament service more important than a prayer service? Is a preaching service more important than a Sunday school service? They're all service to God. That's why we use that word. We have a responsibility. If we're going to renew our spiritual lives, we need to know what it is the Lord wants us to do. If we want our children to be spiritually strong, we have to teach them God's word. They have to know what it is that we want them to believe. It can't all be done in Sunday school. It can't all be done at home. It works together. In Acts it says that daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I bolded the word daily. Daily. Work with our children. Study in our families. Learn more about the Word of God. This is a famous one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a philosophy in the world, just kind of leave your kids alone and let them decide what they want to believe. Well, we can teach our children, or the world can teach our children. It's your choice. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. We're always talking about 401ks and retirement plans and investments and all of this sort of thing. It's all going to go away. It's all going to evaporate. Our investments could be worth zero by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. The inheritance we can leave for our children and our grandchildren is a good, solid spiritual education. Consider your personal service to the Lord. I love this verse. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's not grievous to serve the Lord. It's not unpleasant. It's a joy. And I'll have to say this is one thing that I think we do really, really well. I think we serve the Lord well. I think there's always room for improvement, but I think we do a good job. You know, I really enjoy our potluck Sundays. I think it's fun to see everybody out there, and they're all working together to make a dinner that's just as good as they can possibly make it. You know, and that's neat. That's serving the Lord. We're having a good time because it's fun. Because what are we doing? We're serving our brothers and sisters, and we're doing it cheerfully. Behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom. That you may learn that when you're in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God. If you want to serve God, serve your fellow man. And we have some wonderful organizations. I'm thrilled at our newest organization, the Men's Service Organization. A group of men got together and just said, you know, we all have talents. Why don't we share these talents with the church? Why don't we help other people? United Workers for years has done this sort of thing. YPCL has work days where they go out and they serve the church. They serve the people of the church. I think that's cool. diligently strive to eliminate sin from your life. Now I'm getting kind of personal. But that's where it's at. It's all up here. There's nothing automatic about righteousness. We can be baptized Christians. We can take the sacrament every month. We can pray. We can read the scriptures. But none of that automatically makes us righteous. It's something we really, really have to work at. We have to put all of these things together. And then righteousness needs to be a priority in our lives. The Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. We're not going to be able to make any excuses to the Lord and say, well, but, you know, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Mosiah 2:49. This much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves, now pay attention to these, all of these little individual things that he tells us here. Watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives. If you don't do these things, you will perish. You will die spiritually. There's nothing automatic about it. There's nothing that's instantaneously assured about it. It's our lifelong task to do these things, to stick with it until our last dying breath. Share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all know what Jesus said about lighting a candle and putting a bushel over it. The room's still dark just because you've got the candle. If you're not shining it in the room's still dark. Remember what it said about, if you want to serve the Lord, serve your fellow man. It'd be rather self-centered for us to concentrate all of our spiritual strength on our own salvation. Important, yes, and we're the only ones that can do it. But if we don't share that with the world, then it's kind of a selfish desire. We've been commanded to be ambassadors for Christ, to go into the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all people. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." The next verse is the reverse of that. If we don't confess him before men, Christ will not confess us before his Father. That's a commandment, something that we're required to do. So I'd like to go over these 7 points again. And I'll leave them up if you want to write them down. I think it would be wise for us to undertake these in personal study and in prayer, to keep these as considerations. Again, not because they're my ideas, but because the Lord gave us these things to consider, that we might be a renewed people, that we might be a spiritually stronger church, that we might be more capable and able of spreading the gospel to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. Strengthen prayer, personally and in your families. Increase the importance of scriptures in your daily life. Heal spiritual wounds. Recognize the importance of spiritual education. Consider your personal service to the Lord. Diligently strive to eliminate sin from your life. And share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a few words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If we dedicated our lives to Christ, we're not the person we used to be. Old things are passed away. The things that used to be our priorities, the things that we used to think were fun, the things that we used to judge our lives by, those things are gone. They're passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and we can become new in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention, and God bless you each.